Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show. We're always right. We're never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Good evening. We have an exciting show for you lined up today. A dear friend of mine who ran for Congress the last cycle is running for U.S. Senate in 2022. She is pro-life, pro-2A. She's a wife, mother, a granny or a grammy. Her professional background includes real estate, personal banking, financial advisor, and insurance agent. She owns her own financial planning business. Her husband, George, is a small business owner. He's a carpet installation contractor. Joe Ray has been involved in several organizations over the years in Albany, Oregon area. In the past, she's been a member of the Greater Albany Rotary, Beta Sigma Phi, and founding chair of Mid-Willamette Williams Council of Realtors. Joe Ray states, "I will do what's best for all Oregons, not just the residents of our biggest cities, but our loggers, farmers and ranchers, fishermen, small business owners, our old and young, our middle class, our poor, our family, our entrepreneurs, our vets, and our law enforcement officers. Everyone matters. I don't think I've met a kinder person that is running for office currently than my dear friend." Let me welcome her to the studio, Joe Ray Perkins, United States candidate for Oregon. How are you? Joe Ray, are you in the studio? Okay, stand by for 1 second. See if we can get her on the other line. Joe Ray, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
Chauncey, do you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Good. Good old technology. It's been wreaking havoc with me. Wow. I'd like to meet that person you were just reading about. Sitting there going, wow.
And listen, that's a good friend of mine, and that's only a small part of it. You know,
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh!
You know, wow. you are an example of what America is about. You know, I was thinking about you and you know your family, and you're from Oregon. You know, Middle America makes this country what it is. You know, and we have to remind people. We're only reminded around election time that Middle America decides who becomes the president or major elections. But Middle America is very, very important. And I say that because the type of person you are and the people I've met from Middle America are so kind. They're so giving. They want to serve. They're faithful. And they understand the struggle. And they understand how regular people live. So I'm blessed to have you, you know, in the studio again with me on the air, sharing with me and my audience your hopes and aspirations for Oregon and the nation.
Well, thank you, Chauncey. It's an honor to be here again with you. I really do appreciate it. And you're right. Those and I like to call us Main Street Americans, everyday people. who understand not the career politicians who have been elected but have lost their way. Now there's some who haven't lost their way. They're still there. But I'm told that the person that I am challenging for 2022 is the most powerful senator. The most powerful U.S. senator, and my thought is we don't elect somebody or we should not be electing somebody because they're powerful. This is a position of service, not to be in power, but to help improve our country, not what's in it for me. It's how do we make America better without stepping all over people, without encumbering them with more and more debt. My word, this federal debt is absolutely out of control. In fact, I'm going to pull up the U.S. debt clock real quick here because I haven't looked at it for a few weeks. That's kind of a scary thing.
looking at the U.S. debt clock,
just to give people an idea, and this for people who want to know where to look it up, it's usdebtclock.org. Currently, the national debt is $28,652,594,800, it's going by so fast, and that is before this new spending bill. And when I started this journey in 2010, the national debt, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, I think was around $9 trillion.
It's unconscionable. I don't know how our children's children, children, we don't even have that much in asset to this country. We have, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
It's troubling.
Yeah.
It's very troubling. You know,
it is very troubling. And I have to correct myself. So in 2008, it was around $10 trillion. And in 2012, it was $15.5 trillion. So since 2012, we have gone from $15.5 trillion with the T dollars to today at $28.5 trillion. And it's projected at the rate that we're going to be in 2025, in 4 years from today, at the current rates to be $49.5 trillion. The country is bankrupt. We're already bankrupt.
Oh, we've been bankrupt for probably at least 25 or 30
yeah.
years now. I would have to, I mean,
yeah.
safely assume.
Yeah.
I mean, well, maybe even longer, because I don't think since the 60s, I don't think that we have, well, we don't have the goal to back the paper that we print anymore. You know, it's basically printed on faith. That's what, you know, that's going to be paid.
It is. So let's put this in perspective. My son was born March 28th of 1980. So when he was 5 months old, the national debt was $904 billion, with a B, $904 billion, 41 years ago. This is what happens when we constantly elect people to be in Washington, D.C., who are there for the power to bring home the bacon to our state. That's not the role of the federal government, and I get very frustrated with this. And now today, we're wondering, how is it these people keep getting reelected? Is there some nefarious things going on behind the scenes? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, and, you know, we're in trouble. And right now, even with the tax and spend, liberal Democrats, it's giving away free money. Now it seems like even the Taliban is looking for money from the U.S. You can't make this stuff up.
I saw a video last night, and I need to send it off to a friend of mine who does speak some, do they speak Farsi in Afghanistan? But they're looking over a whole lot of weapons, and I'm hoping that really is not a cache of weapons that is being left behind by our military, and I'm afraid that it might be. And again, unconscionable what is going on.
I can confirm that. The White House reported today, this afternoon late, that, and I'll say it, quote-unquote, the Taliban has some of our equipment.
Some.
Hold on. I'll get the exact quote. It's unbelievable that they have some of our equipment. So in other words, what they're trying to say nicely is that all of the Americans' equipment is there. And then as of late, recently, the Taliban is just telling the White House that they want all U.S. troops to be out of Afghanistan before 9/11. Right now, I just saw it pop up. This is unbelievable. What's going on?
Yeah.
On the world stage.
And just a few days ago, they said it would be 90 days before Kabul fell, and then in 72 hours it falls. Who are they lying to? What is going on? This is the military industrial complex that we were warned about. And I'll tell you, I did not believe that was an issue until the last few years. And the more that I see, and the more, you know, now we have access to so much more information that's out there, it's clear. And then when Obama was pulling the troops out of the Middle East, oh, well, we're not bringing home all the tanks. We're not bringing home all the Humvees. We're just going to leave it because it's too much money to bring it back. Excuse me. That's our tax dollars that is paid for that equipment. And you're going to leave it there for nefarious actors, for bad actors, people with ill intent to get their hands on it, to harm and kill other people. And now look at what they're doing again. And that is going to be used against people, freedom fighters that are Afghanis, people that are loving people. I have a friend who spent time filming over there in Afghanistan, and he has sat down and broke bread with some of these people. His name is Scott Kesterson. For people who want to know who I'm talking about, Scott talks about this on his podcast on Bard's FM. And he talks about how wonderful so many of these Afghani people are that he has broke bread with and spoke with and spent time with. And they're now, their lives are in danger because we went there for 20 years. And then we just go, okay, we're walking out. And by the way, we're going to leave behind all of our military equipment for the people who want to annihilate you. Thank you very little. And people wanted to know why we lose respect around the world when we have a president. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. I really don't care. Anytime that we have a quote-unquote leader of the free world who acts like that with total disregard for other people is shameful, totally shameful.
It is. And to add to your comment, watching the people ascend on the airport, trying to climb on the aircraft, and some even falling off the aircraft while it was in the air. And then after the plane landed, they found a body in the fuselage. It's unconscionable. Well, you know, I don't want to say I told you so, you know, to my listeners and everybody else. We knew that we were getting a disaster when Joe Biden became president. Look what Obama had to cover up for him. I mean, Joe Biden ran for president three times, four times, and wasn't even on the radar. I mean, and to think now that electing him is going to make our country better, we have a human trafficking problem that's accelerated, open borders, drugs, guns. Now we have a foreign policy conflict. Russia is just sending, China's just sending its warships out. This is crazy.
Well, I think sometimes, Chauncey, you won. Did he really win?
No.
That's a legitimate question based upon what came out last week from Mike Lindell. And I personally will go back as I'm doing some driving around and re-listen to that information, because there was so much information that came out. So as I'm on the road, that's why I'd like to re-listen to information. you know, so we have to question, if he did win legitimately, irregardless, it's a wake-up call, whether he did or didn't. It is hopefully a wake-up call to millions of Americans. There's those people, they're lost, they're confused. They believe that the government paying for everything, which is, they don't understand how money works, is a good thing. They don't have a problem with it. Well, as Margaret Thatcher said, when you run out of other people's money, you know, it's what socialism is. You know, at some point you run out of other people's money. You can't keep saying, well, the wealthy are not paying their fair share. Well, define fair. When you're talking about a universal income for everybody, well, why look at what's going on in businesses today. They're going, we can't get people to come to work. We are running out of supplies. The truckers are not trucking. The farmers cannot get their crops harvested and to market because they don't want to work because they're getting paid money to sit around and do nothing. What do people think is going to happen? And real quick, I talked to one guy a couple years ago, and he was talking to me about the universal income. And I go, then why would I go to work? And he says, because you like what you're doing. And I just went, wow. At some point, people are going to go, I'm not going to go bust my backside so that you can sit around and collect $500 or $600 or $700 a week and then complain that you can't pay your rent. I'm not buying it.
You know, I grew up in the largest city in New Jersey, but I think I'm aware pretty much of both sides, if you will, of understanding. I've traveled the middle of America. I've traveled all over, so I kind of understand how we live. The part that when I look at social programs, and I agree with you, there's no way to try to move these individuals to become independent, because then the Democratic Party, the oppressor, won't have anyone to keep selling their nonsense to that I'm here to help you, okay? But on the other side, okay, you know, which becomes, you know, even more interesting is the corporate welfare that's set aside for corporations. So if we address social welfare, we have to address corporate welfare, and I believe that becomes the challenge of the day because of the politicians negotiating welfare corporate breaks or whatever it may be. So that they're trying to say that's how that's how they balance out the scale. Well, there's corporate welfare, so it justifies socialism. I don't think so. We're free market. We're a corporation.
Right.
We're supposed to act like a business entity. But anyway, you're the candidate. I'm going to let you chip in there.
Well, when you look at what fascism is, when you're talking about corporate welfare, and we start taking a look at what is going on today with corporations and the government, when they are in lockstep with each other, it's questionable what in the world is going on. How is it that a publication can complain to one company? And I'm going to use this as a real life example, a leftist organization called Media Matters. I'm 90% sure it was Media Matters. Or was a sister company, but I'm 99% sure it was Media Matters.
Excuse me, Joe, as long as it's not National News Media Group, because that's me.
Right. That was not you. Complained to Eventbrite and claims that the person putting on an amazing event that's taking place in St. Louis, Missouri next week called Bard's Fest, where we're going there for a revival and to praise God and to pray and to hear from some amazing speakers, calling it a conspiracy group and and gets Eventbrite to cancel the ticket sales, that's fascism. And that is, and that really did happen. The event is still going on. But see, that's fascism. When corporate America has combined with the government, and now, so you take that and those are two corporations, but now you've got the government calling those of us who are questioning the results of the vote, who believe that President Trump might really have won, who are true patriots. We are now the terrorists of this country, which was just put out by the Department of Homeland Security last week.
That's frightening.
This is an upside-down world, and we need people like me, and I'm, and for your listeners, I'm calling on each of them to say, okay, what can I do? Because I can preach the choir all day long, just like I go to rallies, and people feel great. Oh, yeah, I was at this rally. I feel great. And then they go home, and they get on their keyboards, and they complain. No, we need people to take back our country, starting locally. Go to your school board meetings. Tell them these masks for on our children, on your grandchildren, are detrimental to their health, and that is scientific medical fact. They do not protect you from any viruses. It's on the box of the N95 masks. That is fact. What can you do? You stand up and you go and you speak up and you be a voice for America. What do you want? Do you want to live in Marxism? Because this is what I call these masks now. They are, in Oregon, where I live, a Marxist mask mandate. And now they're talking about directing the, there's a House bill in Congress to direct the Department of Homeland Security to say that anybody that flies into a U.S. city, from one U.S. city to another, they have to have proof of being vaccinated with God knows some unknown substance for something that if I got it, I'd have a 99.9997% chance of not dying from it, even with comorbidities. So we need people to get out there and fight at your local level, please.
Amen, Joe. And you hit the nail on the head. We are being bamboozled. We're being controlled. It's called programming. It's a military tactic using fear. Big Pharma, and I argued this on Facebook, don't tell me that Big Pharma is only making pennies. No, they've made $35 billion over the past 12 months. Okay? I like when people have comments. Please do your research, people. The information's out there. Don't take with his first stone out in your face on television as fact, because they're not going to give you this information.
No, they're not. They have an agenda. And the scary part of that agenda, and this is what kills me about people in the mainstream media, aka fake news, is if we did fall to a socialist, communist, Marxist country, how many people are going to be giving you the news? A handful of people. They get their 4 a.m. talking points already. They're no longer journalists. They're giving their talking points. They're not going to have a job because they're not going to need them. Right now, they're useful idiots.
Well, that's exactly what's going on now. The mainstream media is corrupt and in lockstep with government, the deep state, without question. I mean, people say, when I post different things, they says, I didn't know that, because I don't most of my stuff I don't post to my blog from the mainstream media, because I know it's only going to be slanted in one direction, and it's going to be opinionated with deceptive facts, and the people don't deserve that.
No, we deserve to have the truth, and that is why we need people need to step up, and they need to go to their school board meetings and say enough is enough. They need to, well, first of all, I'm going to digress for a moment. I think, first of all, we need to take a step back and say, do we need to have both parents working full-time out of the home? Or do we need to stop and say, wait a minute, my children's future is at stake, and I need to make sure that I know what they're being taught. Because what they're being taught is Marxism. They're being taught to hate America. They're being taught that because you were not born a certain race, that you are that you're disadvantaged, that if you're born white, that you have white privilege. I guess I'm considered white because I'm not black, I'm not Asian, I'm not Latino. God chose my nationality, my ethnicity. I didn't choose it.
I thought that you were American. I didn't know that.
But
I'm confused.
I'm a human.
I'm confused because I thought it doesn't. Critical race theory, if I may, on its face sounds ridiculous. First of all, I know for a fact that you are of deep faith. There's only one race, the human race. We are different species of humans. So let's correct the correct language. Okay, so on its face, critical race theory, really? Okay, fine. If you want to entertain a theory in higher education, law school, that's fine. We have kids in the inner city in rural America that can't even read and write, do not have access to good drinking water. And you want to worry about critical race theory? What about critical thinking skills? What about mathematics, arithmetic? What about more STEM programs?
Well, so did you read what happened here in Oregon? Our state legislature this year just passed a bill that our high school students no longer need to be proficient in reading, writing, and mathematics to graduate from high school. Why? Because they do not want to disadvantage the Latinx, our black population, our Pacific Islanders, our American Indians, because they might not be able to comprehend, and that part I am paraphrasing, but it's what they said, that information, and so they get to graduate without meeting any minimal standards now. Talk about setting people up for failure.
Not only that, you're dividing the people, and you're telling me, as a person I happen to see that a permanent tan, that I am not capable of competing or exceeding at a higher level of standards that you set. I find that to be insulting.
Absolutely. When I read the comment, I went, wow, you talk about a racist comment. My word. I was shocked. And that came from our superintendent of schools, statewide superintendent. I was shocked. Just going, wow, you guys and governor signed it without any fanfare, didn't tell anybody, oh yeah, we signed this bill. But this is again why we need people to be involved. Now, God called me at the federal level. Don't ask me why, but he did. Maybe because I'm bold enough to speak out on issues across the spectrum. And for those people who want to know how I got so bold, I was at a church I used to attend. They said, if you want boldness, come up here for prayer. Well, I'll tell you, I got a double dose. I grew up with very low self-esteem. I think I got a triple dose, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So people go, God, I wish I had your guts. I wish I had your boldness. You know what? Ask the Lord for it. He'll give it to you, guaranteed. And it is so, it is an absolute blast because I know who I trust. And I know that God has my best. And he's not going to put me in a situation where I'm going to fall flat on my face as long as I'm listening to him. And so I really encourage people, if you want that level of boldness, ask the Lord for it. He'll let you have it.
Amen. But, you know, Joe, we need people that have courage. We don't need people, right? And we need God-fearing people. I want to add that because that's how you started this off. This is important. This is what's missing in our country today is the moral fabric of our country is stretched beyond the limits. And, you know, I believe that God is bringing his people together for his purpose to run through these offices, to stand up, to speak truth to power.
Yep. Yep.
To correct what the devil is doing. Listen, it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I grew up in politics, been a victim of politics, been a victim of myself, let's put it that way. But, you know, politics is a full contact sport. You know, politics is a dirty game. And, you know, it's not fair. And most people that engage in politics, I'd like to think that they're God-fearing, but they leave that at the church on Sunday or at the door at church, because for some reason they get into these offices and they forget that they put their hand on that Bible or that Quran and swear to the spiritual father of the universe. I mean, that is beyond my comprehension that a person can do that and then their actions contradict what their, you know, people forget it's not just the Constitution you're swearing on. You're swearing on the Holy Bible or the Quran.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that in and of itself has to be called into question, that how can you do this, but your actions are this. We need to start looking at people's moral character instead of who makes us feel good. Because feel good candidates have not done us well. Donald Trump, love him. Okay? He spoke exactly what he meant. Wasn't a politician, but people said, oh, he should be more presidential. Oh, I don't like the way he speaks, but he got things done for all Americans.
He got things done because he cares about the individual. And, oh, I don't like his personality. Guys, this is not a personality popularity contest. This is not high school or middle school. This is the future of the free world. Of the world, not even just the world, but the future of the world and the future of our country, and I can say that because they say as so goes America, so goes the world. And when people, if they'll take a look at the flags being flown in places like Hong Kong and Taiwan and South Korea, whose flag are they flying? In France, they're flying the American flag. Haiti, they're flying the American flag because we are the symbol.
Cuba.
We are the shining light on a hill. Cuba. You know, it's like we want that freedom. And then what breaks my heart is when I talk to people that left everything they know, their family, their friends, their culture, to come to a place where they know hardly anybody, so that they can escape tyranny and find out that we're walking into it. And they're blown away. And I've talked to those people, and they're going, wow.
You know what's ironic is I'm listening to you talk. Joe Biden has opened the southern border beyond description. 1,000 were apprehended within an hour today in El Paso, Texas. However, when the Cuban refugees wanted to come to America, Joe Biden says no, because he knew that they were going to be Republicans. He knew they were going to be conservatives.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine that.
He doesn't want them. He doesn't want them here. Here's the interesting thing is many of those people, when we sit down and talk with them, they're actually conservative-minded. Family is extremely important to them. They want to get away from the heavy hand of a government. That's what they want, but they're being tricked and lied to. They're pawns. And so, again, it's important. I mean, we can preach the choir all day long, but if the choir doesn't practice and doesn't get out there and make a difference, it's for nothing. And so, again, run for city council. Write letters to your county commissioners, to your city council, to your sheriff. Find out what power your local sheriff has, which is the highest law enforcement authority in your county. Find out what you can do. Can you get on some city council boards? Can you get on some county boards? and commissions and start making a difference. If you go, I can't run for political office because of XYZ, then help those of us that are. And I started to say this a few minutes ago, families, take a look and go, do we really need to have this lifestyle? Do we really need to have the latest and greatest cars? And believe me, I love cars. I drive a Corvette. I'm a car fanatic. But if God said sell it, I would sell it. We'd actually make more money on it than we paid for it a year and a half ago. And by the way, it's a used. It's a 2014 by used. And take a look and go, can I homeschool my children so they are not getting indoctrinated into hating America, into this critical race theory, being lied about the founding of our country? And if you guys got too much debt, figure out how to get out of debt. And God forbid, if you have to file bankruptcy, it's not the end of the world. It's legal. But your kids are worth it. The future of our country is worth it to be able to do that. If I still had kids at home, believe me, I would be making sure that I was homeschooling. In fact, I'm trying to figure out how to help homeschool my 7.5, almost 8-year-old grandson who's going into the second grade.
Joe Ray, thank you.
While I'm running for a statewide race.
Joe Ray, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. An extraordinary conversation, as always. We will have Joe Ray Perkins, candidate for U.S. Senate, on here many more times talking about many different issues. Joe Ray, please share with my audience, if you will, your website, if they want to volunteer, donate. Please, whatever help that my audience can give you, please share the information with them.
Thank you so much, Chauncey. I so appreciate it. I know you and I could talk for hours. my website is Perkins for U.S. Senate.vote. Perkins for U.S. Senate.vote is the website, and we're updating it. So some things may look a little strange on there, but we are updating the website as we ramp up for 2022. And while I fight for 2020 to make sure that everything was sound, but it's PerkinsForUSSenate.vote. There is a donate link there, and you can send an email to volunteer and help out. I ask for people's prayers, number one. It's really important. I always want the prayers. That's so important. And if you're an Oregonian, your vote and then your financial donations, wherever you are in the country, as long as you meet the requirements, which is stated on the website.
Joe Ray, thank you so much for taking time
out
of your schedule
again.
I always enjoy it. We will have you back on many more times. You're an exciting individual to talk to, and America needs to listen to regular folks like you that want to help out regular people like themselves. We don't need any more politicians. We need God-fearing people that are public servants that are going to serve the people's will and not the political will of whatever political class is in power. Thank you so much for taking your time out. God bless you and your family, Joe Ray. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Chauncey. Have a blessed day.
You too. Take care now. You're listening to The Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. We put God first and politics second. We are honored and blessed to have in the studio former congressional candidate and now U.S. Senate candidate Joe Ray Perkins in the studio talking about not only the challenges that we face in Oregon, but the challenge that we face in the nation and the current foreign policy issues that we face. She is a wealth of knowledge and information. We'll definitely have her back on. She wears her passion on her sleeve, and we thank her for her courage, like we thank so many other patriots for standing up for what is right in our country today. We're going to have next up on this Thursday at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a little surprise for you. We're going to have a young man who is a conservative running out of the belly of the beast out of Queens, New York, for council. Marvin Jeff Cote will be in the studio. We're going to hear what that young man has plans for Queens. and we're going to have him in the studio. We're here every Tuesdays and Thursdays from 6 to 7. You can follow us on Parler, on Facebook, on Twitter, The Chauncey Show. You can follow me, New York Talk Radio Host. That's NY Talk Radio Host. Parler, CloudHout, Facebook. Just Google it. You'll find me. I thank all of my supporters for tuning in and following. And I appreciate all of my blog supporters. I appreciate the emails I receive from your support and your blessings. And I want to thank all of those who have contributed to help making our show possible. If you are able to, please consider making your donation to PayPal Me The Chauncey Show. That's PayPal Me The Chauncey Show. And your small donation would help us to continue to be a voice for we the people in the nation. We only accept small donations from you because we do not want our voice to be controlled by big time tech or corporations. So we thank you. We are the people's news and commentary. Thank you very much for tuning in. God bless you all. And as usual, keep the faith. Good night now.